Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I would now like to welcome Haina Zuberi, the director of the Washington DC office of the human rights organization Justice for All. Welcome, Haina.
Thank you for having me.
I suppose one of the main questions regarding this legislation requiring companies to prove that their products have been made without the use of forced labor is that it would affect the companies who do the producing, but would it do anything for the plight of the Uyghurs?
Thank you so much for having me and for this topic. So one of the things that doing grassroots work on this for our Save Uyghur campaign, what we found that here locally, Americans don't want to buy goods made with enslaved labor, especially considering our history of slavery in this country. And so that was one of the biggest asks, is how do we stop being complicit in this genocide? And so this bill was a result of that. It's been worked on for about 2.5 years, back and forth. It's passed the House, then the Senate, gone back, and we've had major pushback from large companies, major corporations. And how we believe this will help the Uyghurs is that the United States itself, for example, that region, East Turkestan or Xinjiang, as the Chinese government calls it, accounts for nearly 20% of global cotton production. And this is the annual, greater than the annual production of the entire United States. Its position in refined polysilicon, the material from which solar panels are built, is even more dominant. So virtually all silicon-based solar panels are likely to contain some East Turkestan-sourced silicon, according to, you know, Bloomberg and, experts. So if signed into law, this bill will send apparel producers and the U.S. solar industry scrambling to find alternative sources of supply. And this is important because if this, the United States is one of the largest importers of both cotton and solar panels. So we do believe that this will have an impact on, the Uyghurs who have been sucked into that region, who are being put into prisons and forced labor camps and are being forced to manufacture these in imprisoned situations.
I see that there's pushback coming from Apple, Nike, and Coca-Cola, sort of three American biggies, and they're concerned about their supply chains being affected. Are they now in a position where they just simply have to comply? They can't keep relying on the sources of labor that they've used to now. Is there a grace period for them, or are they just, they've just got to get, change the supply chains?
Yes, this bill has been, so the, there were several issuances by the United States government since July. So they've had since July that they knew that this was coming. Even if this bill hadn't passed, there are other, steps that the government has taken to, because forced labor is illegal in the country. Using goods from forced labor is already illegal in the country. There were some loopholes that these organizations or these corporations were using, and this bill essentially closes those loopholes. So it basically asks the manufacturer to prove that products that are made in that part of China are, you know, are the, that's the presumption. That's the big major loophole, that you have to presume that anything coming out of that region is using enslaved labor. And so that's what the bill, that's what it closes. And they've had 6 months. These or corporations are multi-billion dollar corporations. 6 months is a long time. I'm more worried about the smaller organization, you know, smaller businesses, mom, pop, import, export businesses. They'll have a bigger burden in proving that they are not complicit in their supply chains are clean. And but there will be opportunity for them after the bill is passed, and we're pretty confident that President Biden will pass this, make this into law, that the next step will be open hearings and town halls where retailers and corporations and small businesses will be invited to give their input on how this will play out. So you know, to make it easier. Obviously, nobody wants to damage American businesses, so their input will be sought on how to, you know, work this bill out in real life.
So essentially what would have to happen is that the production of any product would have to come from a part of China or from anywhere in China where labor is not forced, it is paid normal, what we'd call, I suppose, normal labor. And is there any idea as to sort of which countries or which areas would benefit from, let's call it, China's predicament?
That's a really great question. I think Mexico will benefit from this. Turkey may benefit from this. The United States itself will benefit from this. So much of our businesses have outsourced to other countries that there is a shortage of jobs here in the U.S. For example, the car industry, even solar industry, it should be homegrown. And honestly, this is not a anti-China bill. This is about trying to persuade China to change their behaviors and to stop genocide. Right now, the U.S. and China are headed into this sort of Cold War. But as someone who has actively worked on getting this bill, meeting with congresspeople and senators on a daily basis, you know, just trying to persuade them to put their support behind this bill, we faced a lot of opposition. So this bill wasn't the, you know, regular knee-jerk anti-China statements that have come up from the U.S. government day in and day out. And so this is something that it's very important for listeners to understand and to also make sure that their governments also do something similar, because we really have to have a full court press on China on this. Mm-hmm. You know, if it cannot just be the United States, other countries have to step up and speak up and get their governments to also make sure supply chains are clear for them as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, whether you think that this will have a salutary effect on Western Europe and its relations with China and how it produces its products in China.
Yes, there are some amazing activists. In fact, their support from EU, support from a lot of elected officials in the European Union who understand that this is something that they are going to have to get behind as well. So this is, we're hoping that Canada will follow, as well as the European Union, Australia, most of the Western countries, and hopefully other countries will follow as well. The 47 countries that have signed at the United Nations who have called for independent investigation into this genocide, they will all follow up with similar laws. And it really has an impact on China's policies and their business policies as well. And now, one thing that is of concern that I did want to mention, that we are hearing and we have evidence of Uyghurs being outsourced and shipped out from that region into mainland China. So right now, even those supply chains aren't clean. They are being sent to work in factories in mainland China. We've seen advertisements in Chinese media, in Chinese websites, asking for, you know, proudly boasting of Uyghur labor that is free or cheap, or and then saying that these are healthy workers because they don't drink or smoke, and that's why they'll be strong workers for your factories. I mean, literally, there's a, you know, digital slave market where they're being sold to the highest bidders.
Hany Zubairi, thank you for joining us on what is a most fascinating topic, and interesting. It'd be interesting to see whether the pressure works.
Thank you so much.